Well, greetings, everybody. If it's 3 p.m. Central, it's Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we're here to serve you, our listeners. If you have a question, something you'd like to talk about, maybe some particular issue in life that's troubling to you, you're struggling with, well, we cordially invite you right now to call 844-322-2742. In the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, friends, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob, and it is Basic Gospel Live, and we would love to hear from you right now. 844-322-2742 is the number. Andrew Farley is here. Andrew, welcome.
Hey, great to be with you, Bob.
Well, it's always good to be with you. As you know, we've been working our way slowly but surely through the book of Philippians under the topic of advancing the gospel out there in the world, and also seeing all the practical information that Paul gives in this letter to help us individually grow in our relationship with Christ, grow in the grace of God, grow in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we see throughout the book of Philippians that he continues to point us back to the fact that Christ is at work in us, that he began a good work, that he will bring it to completion, that God is at work in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And where we see God at work a lot of times is in our attitudes, the attitudes of the heart. And we see that right here in Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 3. He says, "Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others, and have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man." And so we see Jesus Christ humbling himself, and as we get to know Christ and we recognize the work that he's doing inside of us, we see that becoming more and more of one of the attitudes of our hearts, don't we?
Yeah, and I love that he's expressed it this way, couched it this way, that Jesus humbled himself. That's a choice that Jesus Christ made. It wasn't the Father imposing it on him. You know, we've got far too many doctrines out there being pushed about God seeking to break Christians or crush Christians or make them into a fine powder. And, you know, God is sort of pictured as someone who's trying to push you down or get rid of you. And what we see here is the opposite, that God the Father has given Jesus the freedom, so to speak, as a fully human, as a fully human person, in addition to being fully God, that the Son is choosing to walk dependent upon the Father. And, you know, the Son is choosing to humble himself. And in that same vein, Bob, in that same attitude, we're invited to humble ourselves. You know, God has already given us all the information we need. He's superior. He's the God of the universe. He is our life. He is our creator, designer. He knows best in every circumstance. We've got all the information. But the question is, are we going to humble ourselves, and are we going to submit to him, and are we going to trust him in every moment? And that's the kind of God that we serve, a God who has truly said that he's not going to lord it over us, but instead ask it from us. And I think there's a big difference there. It shows the humility of God, and then to be who he is and give us this choice. And then secondly, the way he esteems us and lets us function as children in response to his love. So this is not God trying to humble you. It's God asking you to humble yourself, because that's just godly common sense. It's just the way we're designed.
Yes, indeed. And you see, in this humility, sprouting from that is this love for others. You know, we come into this world and we're really selfish people. And I think one of the downfalls that people experience in marriage is that they realize just how selfish they are when they have to learn to live with somebody else and to actually consider somebody else's feelings and desires and wants and those sort of things. But when you grow in the grace of God, you become more outward looking. And again, this isn't something you're trying to muster up on your own. This is just a fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? And you actually get to consider others and count yourself, count them above your own self. And it's exciting to see how the love of God works itself out in our lives. So from this attitude of humility, from this attitude of dependence upon Jesus Christ, flows this love into the lives of others. And that's what the Christian life is all about.
Yeah, it's not that we have to be lesser in order to esteem others. I mean, again, you know, what I love about this is the reason we can love other people and the reason we can put them before ourselves is because we're okay. I mean, if the God of the universe has said that you're righteous and you're holy and you're blameless and you're forgiven and you're okay and you're seated right next to him, look, you've got all the status you need. You don't need any more status. You don't need any more value or worth. I mean, you are infinitely valuable to the God of the universe, and he's right about you. So that's the motivation for us to then look outwardly. The only people looking inward are those who are still asking, am I okay? And God's answer to that is, if you're in Christ, you're more than okay. You're off the charts okay. So now you're free to look up and look out and look around you and meet the needs of other people, not having to ask that eternal question, am I okay? The answer is a definitive yes because of Jesus Christ.
Yes, and we call that ultimate freedom, don't we?
Amen.
That is freedom in Christ. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. Andrew Farley is here today, and we welcome you to this broadcast, and we certainly ask you to join us if you have a question or something that's of interest to you, something weighing on you, a problem situation, maybe a passage in the Word of God that doesn't make sense. You're trying to figure that out. Today's a great day to call Basic Gospel and ask that question. The number is 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Go ahead and dial that number right now. It is toll-free all across the United States and Canada. We would love to hear from you right now, 844-322-2742. Andrew, as you know, Basic Gospel is listener-supported radio. And one of the things that we try to do, not only through our broadcast, but through resources that we produce and put together, is to be an encouragement to our listeners, to help them grow in grace, to help them truly experience the fullness of this new life that they have in Christ Jesus. And our resource this month is from the book of Philippians. It is a teaching CD series called Advance. And how can you advance in your Christian life? And it's not a metric, it's not through human effort, it's through recognizing what Christ has done in your life and continues to do in your life. And we want to put this resource into your hands. And it's available when you send a gift to Basic Gospel this month. All the information on how to do that is online at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. And click the donate button and follow all the instructions there. And be sure to request your copy of Advance, and we'll get that into your hands as quickly as possible. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. Andrew Farley is here with us, and we're glad you've joined us as well. We're going to start today. We've got lots of calls coming in. We'll get to those as quickly as we can. But we're going to start today with a question from John from Manitoba, Canada, and he quotes Romans 12:1, and he says, how do we know what this is? I thought we were acceptable when we received Christ. Don't we have God's nature? Isn't Christ, aren't we in Christ and Christ in us? So what does this mean? What does Romans 12:1 mean, say, when it says that we're to offer our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God?
Well, it's all great news. I mean, John is right that we're holy and acceptable to God. My goodness, we're his children, we're his offspring, we're born of the Spirit, we're born again. So there's no part of you that God does not like. He's for you in every way. And I think Romans 12:1 actually affirms that, Bob, because, you know, it's saying present your body to God. Well, you couldn't do that if your body was detestable to him, if your body was evil, if your body was bad. And instead, he's saying present your body as a living and holy sacrifice. So all I'm doing there is saying, well, Lord Jesus Christ, you took up residency inside of me. You live in my heart. You live within my spiritual self. I'm one with you. I'm united with Christ. So what in the world am I going to do with my hands and feet today? What am I going to do with my eyes, nose, and mouth? Well, I'm going to offer my body to you to be an expression of you, to be used by you as you minister to people in and through me. So I'm offering my body to you as a living and holy sacrifice. So I love this because the next phrase says acceptable to God. And then it says, this is your reasonable act of worship. In other words, yeah, we sing songs for 22 minutes a week in church, maybe on a Sunday morning, but worship is any time you are offering your body to God. That's your reasonable act of worship. So, you know, this verse wouldn't even be given to us unless we were holy and acceptable. This is given to us because we're a perfect fit with a perfect God. He made us perfect by one offering. He made us righteous and acceptable. And now he's saying, you know, what are you going to think about today? What are you going to offer your brain to today? What are you going to offer your body to today? Well, now that you're in Christ, the most sensible thing to do is think God thoughts and set your mind on things above. So that's what this passage is all about, John, and it is incredibly encouraging and affirming that God is for us, body, soul, and spirit.
Yes, indeed. And that was one of his questions. He was thinking, Is something different going on with these bodies of ours that we have to do something in order to make them holy in God's sight? And that's not what this passage is saying at all. Our bodies are fine, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't say make your body acceptable. It just says present your body as acceptable. Present your body as holy. In other words, God, I believe you. You know, the Gnostics, those ancient heretics, they used to teach that the body was evil or sinful. God, I don't believe that. I believe that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I believe you that my body is acceptable and holy and set apart and reserved for you. So use me today. I want to be an expression of you today. That's what this is all about, Bob. And that's really, really good news.
Yes, it is. Well, let's go to our phone lines and talk with Tracy, who's listening to us in Kansas. Hey, Tracy.
Hi, Bob and Andrew. How you doing?
Good.
Doing great. What's on your mind today?
I've shared stuff with Ephesians with a couple of people, and Ephesians 1:4 really, really kind of got me nervous about people. Ephesians 1:4 says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. I know it's when people read this, I know at times I've taken things out of scripture, but what he's trying to say is he's not picking and choosing people, but he's set apart people before time. So if they were to come to Christ, they would be a chosen people. And so people see this and they think, well, he's just picking and choosing him, not him. No, he's saying he set that apart before time that we would be a chosen people. And I just wanted to know if I was understanding that correctly. And it's about we have it in Christ, because if you read 3, it's talking about, you know, as believers, we have this. And so people take this out of context that it's when you're a believer, you have this in Christ. Mm-hmm. Am I understanding that correctly?
Well, so my take on this is, look, you've got two possible choices, because early in this chapter you've got us, and then later in this chapter you've got you also. And so you look at verse 13, it says, in him you also. Well, who would the you also be? That's going to be your Ephesians. That's the recipients of this letter. As we say in Texas, all y'all also, right? This is like an all y'all. And so the question is, who is the us? If he's got an all y'all also later, then who is the us? Well, as you look at this passage, you could think, well, hasn't God chosen beforehand that the church collectively, hasn't God chosen beforehand that the whole body of Christ is going to be holy and blameless before him? Absolutely. And then the other choice you have here in verse 5, he predestined us. Well, who is the us? Well, Paul's writing this, and he's a Jewish man, and he's saying, look, who was chosen first? Who was the group that was God's chosen people? That was Israel. And then he says, you also, in verse 13. So here's what I think he's saying. Look, God had a secret plan for the body of Christ. God had a secret plan for the entirety of his bride to be holy and blameless. And how did he do it? Well, first he chose Israel. God has always chosen Israel, but now, under the new covenant, he is saying to these Ephesians, you also, you get invited to this gospel. You get to be a part of it. And you, after listening to the message, it says, after listening to the gospel and after believing, you were sealed. So this is not God going down the city street not saying, I'll take Roger and I'll take Lisa and I'll take Ben, but forget the rest of you. You guys have no hope. No, this is simply saying to all y'all Ephesians, hey, guess what? You get included too. I know. You were dirty, rotten Gentiles. You weren't pursuing Yahweh. You didn't have a care in the world about God, but God intervened and he pursued you through Christ. And when the Son of Man is lifted up, he will draw all men, not just Jews, but all men unto himself. And that's the message of Ephesians 1, that we who were the first to hope in Christ, that would be the Jews, we were chosen, and then you also who were second, you Gentiles, you get chosen too. So, wow, whosoever comes to the Lord for salvation, well, they're going to be saved.
And another thing that's really interesting about this is that he chose us in him. And so we see that Christ has been the plan of God all along, even before the foundations of the world. And whoever is going to be saved, it's going to be through Christ. There's no other way. I mean, there are folks that would say, hey, that, you know, some folks can be saved, you know, by faith plus works and this and that and the other. And there's never been that plan. God has never put that forth to anyone. It's always been about Jesus. Even before the foundation of the world, we're chosen in him to be holy and blameless. So let's rejoice that God had a plan to save both Jew and Gentile. Yes. And that plan has a name, and his name is Jesus Christ. That makes sense, Tracy?
I just making sure I understood that right. Other people use this as a pick of what, you know, Andrew's specifically, and that's what they say. And I said, well, as a believer, when you come to understand that you're in him and all this stuff, I said, you can't lose salvation because you're part of the family. You're in him. He's not going to separate from you. He doesn't, you know, okay, you're in me now, you're not, and that kind of stuff. And so I think people struggle with that. They think they're always in and out of Christ. You never are. Once you're in him and he's in you, that's forever. That's not an in and out thing. And right. I have still people kind of come to me about that, and I'm like,
well, yeah.
It disappoints me because it's like I wish they would, you know, understand or come to know their true identity of who they are in him. That's where I think the focus is.
Yeah, that's why we can't fall at the feet of any of these isms. I mean, one of these isms says God is pre-picking people. Another one of these isms says you can lose your salvation. And then we go to Scripture and we say, wait a minute, he's chosen that anybody, he wants none to perish. He wants all to believe. We need to believe the Scripture on that one. And then he says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. So we've got eternal security in Jesus Christ, and then we've got an invitation to everybody. Whoever will call on his name is going to be saved. So that's why we got to stop as a church globally. We got to stop falling at the feet of these isms and instead ask the Spirit of God to teach us through his word, because, you know, we try to get our belief system to fit in some sort of box, and it just doesn't work, does it, Bob?
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't. There's you know, we can't fit God in a box. We can't fit his plan in a box. So let's let our minds be expanded by the truth of the Word of God and the teaching of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I think when we do, everything kind of comes up Jesus. And that's where it needs to come up. So, Tracy, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it. Always good to hear from you. Let's go to Texas and talk with Kara. Hi, Kara. You're on Basic Gospel. Welcome.
Hi. Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
You are welcome. Thanks for calling. What's your question today?
Well, I've always had a question about Christ's second coming. And my question specifically is, the Bible talks about him coming down in the clouds and meeting us, and we will meet him there in the clouds. And at times, I wonder if what Christ's second coming means is that he's coming into our hearts as opposed to in a physical way. So how do I understand that? Because when we accept Christ, he comes into our hearts, but the Bible talks about him coming down. So is there a possibility that the Bible meant coming into our hearts?
Yeah, I don't think so. Here's why. You know, we read in 1 Thessalonians 4:17 that, you know, Paul, a person who said Christ is dwelling in his heart by faith, Paul wrote this and said, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So you've got an apostle who has Christ living in them saying that there's a future date at which we will meet the Lord in the air. So certainly we can look at Pentecost. I mean, I see what you're saying, that the first return of Christ, meaning Christ coming into our hearts by faith, that's pretty incredible. I mean, you look at Pentecost, and they were waiting for power from on high. It was a big deal. No one had really experienced it like this before. Union with Christ, Galatians 2:20, being crucified, buried, and raised to this newness of life. Wow, that's something to celebrate. But that very same church who was now indwelt by Jesus was looking forward to something described as being in the future in 1 Thessalonians, and it hasn't happened yet. They thought it was imminent. They thought it was close. They thought the rescue, physical rescue, was on its way, and it still is. So I think we need to esteem both. We need to say, I'm indwelt by Jesus. He has come to live in my heart by faith, but he's also coming back, and I'm going to get a new resurrection body at that time.
Yeah. Here's a couple of passages, Kara, to help you. Acts chapter 1, it says, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. So there's a verse about his second coming. Also, Hebrews 9:28. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. So Kara, just as he came 2,000 years ago, he is going to come again. That's our great hope. And we know when he does, we're going to be with him forever. That is the good news of the gospel. So, Kara, thank you so much for your call today. We certainly appreciate it. You call anytime, okay?
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, Andrew, thanks for being with us. Any parting words?
Oh, just how awesome it is to be able to celebrate a present reality, Christ in you, our hope of glory, and then a future promise of that new body to match. Bob, I think they're both equally amazing, and it causes any Christian to be excited.
Yes, indeed. Well, thank you for joining us here on Basic Gospel today. Andrew, we'll look forward to being with you again next week. To all our listeners, thank you for allowing us to be a part of your day today. And thank you for being a part of ours. It's always fun to get on these airways and talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and how we as believers in Christ can grow together in his love and grace and experience his life to the full. Well, this month we have a great resource we want to put in your hands called Advance. It's yours for a gift to Basic Gospel. That gift will help advance the good news of Jesus Christ out into the world through these airwaves. It will also encourage you in your walk with Jesus Christ. Go to basicgospel.net and click the donate button. We'll be back tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.